So good evening, everybody. Thank you, ladies, for joining. It's an emergency meeting. We had this WHO alert on a new virus they're propagating and preparing a psyop. Ladies, may I give the word to Dr. Lee to introduce herself, please, first, and then we move to Anne van der Steel and Dr. Astrid Stückelberger. Thank you.
Thank you, Pascal Najati. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Lee Vliet. I am a physician in practice in the United States treating COVID patients, vaccine-injured patients, and fighting for medical freedom. I'm also the president and CEO of a public charity, Truth for Health Foundation, truthforhealth.org. And let me just assure all of you listening that we are facing another artificial pandemic. The weapon is fear, and we are here to give you facts, help encourage you to focus on faith over fear, and help you encourage by knowing that we have resources we planned a year ago. We knew they were planning this type of fear-mongering as they wrapped up COVID and decided to call it ended. We knew they had another one coming. We pretty much predicted what it was. All the resources are on our website, treatment options, what you can do to protect yourself and your family. Please do not give in to the fear. That is critical. There are resources to help you, and we are all working together across all continents around the world, and we'll be bringing you updates regularly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Vliet. My name is Anne van der Steel. I'm the president and co-chair of the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, Dr. Zelenko's legacy. He was a gentleman who brought hydroxychloroquine, an early treatment to the coronavirus pandemic. He was extremely effective at getting the messaging out and dispelling the myth from the truth and putting fears to bed. Like Dr. Vliet said, Dr. Zelenko believed in our one true God, and that's where we need to place our faith. Now, with the World Homicide Organization, as Dr. Zelenko referred to the WHO, is engaging in Satan's playground of fear by pushing a virus that simply is not out there. The virus symptoms that you might see or the news might report on is not coming from a Marburg virus, which is extremely rare. What you're seeing is directed energy weapon usage and being applied in local high dense population areas like subways and such. Those type of reports will surface and you will see mass media covering horrific images. But again, it's not coming from the Marburg virus. And this is what we're here to dispel the myth from the truth. And I'm just very appreciative because we have another esteemed colleague here, Dr. Astrid Stückelberger, who is formerly with the World Health Organization. I turn it over to you, Dr. Stückelberger.
Thank you. I'm Dr. Astrid Stückelberger, and I'm in Geneva, Switzerland. But I can speak because I have been, setting up a training on international health regulation implementation with WHO for 3 years. And I was in charge of typology, and one of the typology, which was infectious disease, was on Marburg, an hemorrhagic fever. So yeah. That's what I want to say. I think people know me a little bit already, but yeah, I'm very happy to contribute to calming down everybody about this.
Thank you, Dr. Stückelberger and friends here. Thank you for introduction. I'm the Swiss citizen that has filed criminal charges against our president, Swiss president, and Minister of Health, Alain Berset. I wish to say at this juncture that the presumption of innocence applies to him. We're talking about a current criminal proceeding, which is handled by the Swiss federal prosecutor in Bern. This morning, we had a call very early at 4 o'clock Swiss time because I couldn't sleep and I saw this news flashing about this WHO Twitter calling for an emergency meeting today at 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. Geneva time, which they did. And of course, it was all prepared and laid out. I don't know who was on the call of you, but I was there. It's a playbook. But Astrid, if I may ask you, jump in first. Could you explain from when to when have you been at WHO in Geneva, and when did you quit, and why did you quit?
Well, yeah. Since I'm very young, the Master of Science I had from WHO was on mental health and differential diagnosis depending on culture. And that was when a human being was doing a diagnosis, not a technology that is invalid. So that it dates. Then I was an expert on aging and then an expert on the Research Ethics Committee. And I applied to be, you know, but what is the most important, I worked from 2009. And I can prove I put it on the website or my letters of recommendation. 2009 to 2012, I had on contract for organizing the implementation course on international health regulation. And I was in charge of emergency management, communication, ethics communication, health systems, human rights, the European way, not the American way. That was Georgetown University who is doing that. And I was in charge, and that's the most important, I think, of the four typologies. And we had 3 years of teaching, and the four typologies were infectious disease. And I took the worst that people fear was Marburg, with the top expert in WHO, a French. And he, I rolled out that. Then it was chemical disease, before foodborne disease, because that can bring infectious disease, chemical disease, which can also bring death and infectious disease, and also radionuclear, which radiation and deliberate attack on people can bring. So this is why today what is going on has nothing to do with the teaching we did with the top experts in the world and of WHO on all those four typologies, especially infectious disease, which from the beginning, it's impossible in real time that you can announce to the world there is a virus and it's the whole world has a virus and then they have a vaccine just immediately on. I hope people understand that this is not logic. It is based on fear and it is impossible epidemiologically, scientifically, and only politically that we can announce this to the whole world and bear everybody fears. No, Ebola is known since a long, long time. It is the most easy to maintain and contain, we can go on that. It's the most easy to contain, but it's spectacular.
Thank you. So, but then you to 2012, and then you were still on board with WHO.
What I did after that is that I was called again by WHO Europe, Mrs. Brown. With an expert of office of the Eastern Bloc to organize a workshop on how to manage emergency, and from the European perspective, but the Eastern Bloc was very concerned because of H1N1, and we talked about we cannot announce pandemic because pandemic has a legal consequence. If WHO announces a pandemic, they are liable because people buy all the medication, people make all the measures, and H1N1 was over, and they had bought all the Tamiflu, and one of the countries, Tajikistan or another one, they had bought so much Tamiflu, millions of doses of medication from Novartis, I think it was.
And then you stayed on until when? I just want to get the time.
That was a workshop in end of December 2012 and 2013. So that was another contract. And then I was teaching.
Yeah, until when did you quit the organization? That's what I like.
Oh, no. So what happened is, that's very interesting, the question. What happened is that we had a three-year contract, Georgetown University, Pretoria, University of Geneva, and I was the responsible person. And we applied for a reconduction of the mandate, the contract, for 3 more years. Japan had funds, so we have the letters which says you have been selected. So we were supposed to teach for another 3 years from 2013 to 2016, the same course. It was very successful for member states, for epidemiological centers, for the regional offices of WHO. And what happened is very interesting because suddenly Isabel Nuttall, who was the head of alert response department, she said, no, well, we don't have the funds anymore. So suddenly funds disappeared and we did not have the contract. But why was it very important? Because when they decided a 2005 international health regulation, the new one, which is very good, adopted not signed, adopted under the Articles 19 to 22 of the WHO, the international WHO Constitution. Well, when we did that, I lost the track of what I was going to say. They decided that there is a enter into force. So the entry into force was from 2005 to 2008, and then it was decided that they would train every country in the world to know how to manage in their own way the international health regulation, because it was specific to if you have mountains, if you have rivers, if you have a desert. And so we were supposed to do that, and suddenly this implementation was taken over, and this I have never said, by a team of WHO who is doing the assessment country by country with a group in the alert and response. And they called me back. We made courses with the Master of Public Health. We made courses. But suddenly I was called back by WHO saying that I cannot teach that in the University of Geneva in our the summer school on global health and human rights I was putting up. And this is Bruce Plotkin. He has a very interesting name, Plotkin. He is in the history of what's going on. And he literally invited me for lunch with the person from Georgia, from the regional office of one of the Eastern Bloc, and said that I invited to teach. He said, no, you cannot teach this anymore. And I said, what? This is a democracy. Academy can teach what they want. What are you doing? And I realized that he was a control freak, paid